Hello, Audio Boo. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It is Monday, the 30th of March, 2015. It's about 10:30 in the AM. How are we all? Really good weekend in this neck of woods. Really good weekend. Yeah, it was. Firstly, I've just listened to Simon doing his dishwasher testing thing. And yes, it does seem like you've got a leak. It doesn't seem like a very big one if it's taken a couple of weeks to get that much in there, but obviously it does need addressing because it could be dripping onto sort of wiring or something and corroding or leaking through or so. So it's worth getting looked at. Before you call anybody out there, I would just suggest maybe have a look inside the tub, you know, where you put your crockery and stuff, and just make sure any of the plastic fittings, any of the little plastic bits and bobs, just give them all a little tweak and just make sure none of them have come loose or any of them are damaged or cracked or whatever. I don't think the Bosch has got any rubber seals on them, I don't think. But if you feel around where the top washer, the top tray, the wash arm that that sits underneath that basket, it locks into like a rack down the back. Just have a look there and make sure that, that's not obstructed at all, that that's all secure. If there are any rubber seals inside, I don't think there are on the Bosch. I think it's just a press fit. If I remember rightly, but just make sure if there are any seals that they aren't worn out. It might just be something that needs tightening up or just unscrewing and replacing for a couple of quid from your local shop. But yeah, definitely need to get it sorted though before you hear any unpleasant fizz bang pops in the night. And in the meantime, if you are using it, don't go out and leave it. Make sure there's somebody in the house when it's running, just in case. Don't sort of put it on and then go to the shops. Or go to bed. Make sure you do it during the day when the people are around so you can react quickly to any emergencies. Be there flooding or bangs and flashes. So, yes. Good stuff. Yes, hopefully you'll get that sorted pretty quick. So, what's been happening in Black 73 Catland? Well, so my TV packed up on Friday. I needed to get one sorted pretty quick because I couldn't watch a 32-inch telly, for goodness sake. I couldn't see the blooming thing. it was awful. It was really bad. So on Saturday, I had a quick look around a few websites and stuff, and I found a particular TV that I wanted. I'd already sort of earmarked it on Friday at Richer Sounds. And I give them a call on Saturday morning. Do you have this TV in stock? Yes, we do. Okay, I shall come pick it up later on. No problem, sir. I'll put your name on it and stick it to one side. Just ask me when you come in. No problem at all. As usual, fantastic service from Richer Sounds. That might not sound like, you know, fantastic service per se. All the guy's done is taken my name and put one to one side for me. You try doing that at Currys. All right, you can do the click and collect thing, but it's very impersonal. It's not, you know, it's just going through the motions. And I love that personal service that you get from Richer Sounds. It's much more tangible and it's much more pleasant, you know? So anyway, headed to the shop to pick up the TV later on in the afternoon. And I didn't need to do anything. All I needed to do was wait for this guy who was, he was on a phone call upstairs. So I just had to hang around for a few minutes waiting for him. But while I was waiting, I was listening to two other guys being served, you know, and the knowledge of those guys in that shop is just second to none. They just know everything. And it's there was two particular customers I was kind of, you know, earwigging on their conversations. One was trying to buy a turntable and a preamp and an amp and all kinds of stuff. And the guy just knew everything that he needed to know. He was like explaining exactly why one turntable was slightly more expensive than the other, exactly why he didn't need to spend the money that he was talking about spending on that amp. He could actually save himself 50 quid and just buy this amp because this one, you know, the more expensive one had all these functions on that he was never going to use. And it was just brilliant to listen to. Just giving general advice. And then on the other side of the shop, there was another guy who was obviously spending a fair bit of money. He was spending a few grand, three or four grand, I think. And he was trying to work to a budget. And the guy did a load of discounts and stuff for him, and he just couldn't quite get to where he needed to be with his money. And the guy was like, "All right," he said, "look, I can't go any further. I can't discount any further." And he said, "Look, hang on, let me just have a look." So he looked back and he worked out that the guy could essentially swap out one bit that he was going to buy that had this particular function on for one that didn't have that function on, but that wasn't a problem because he could also swap this other one that he was going to buy, which did everything that he wanted, but also had this extra function on that the other thing didn't have anymore, and he could do so much discount on those that it would actually come in under his budget, and he's actually saved the guy a few hundred quid. And you know, and it was just brilliant to listen to. You just don't get that in Currys. It's as simple as that. You just do not get guys with that much knowledge, that much flexibility, and that much tenacity to sort of, you know, get to the bottom of a deal and really go to town to help a customer. They aren't interested in you walking in that shop like I did. You know, I'm sure that's a bonus for them when somebody knows exactly what they want. They just want to come down, pay for it, and go. But even then, you're not treated any less. You know, the guy straight away, you shop with us before, yeah, a few times, he puts the thing, and he goes, oh yeah, yeah. Says, and I said, oh yeah, my plasma's finally died after 6 years. And he said, oh, I said, it's a shame, they were a good old telly, they were blah blah blah, yeah, remember when you bought that. And such a brilliant experience. Definitely, I can't sing their praises highly enough. Go check out Richer Sounds. Really check out Richer Sounds. Yes, brilliant. Anyway, so yes, we've got the new TV, big beautiful LG LED TV going from plasma to LED, which I wasn't sure about, but actually, you know what, I'm really pleased indeed. The results are amazing. Picture quality is just stunning, and to realize just how old and tired my plasma was getting when I see this. You know, TV pictures are just so much brighter, clearer, sharper, color rendition's better, contrast is better, everything is just better. It just looks gorgeous. And I have had my Xbox One now for what, 8 months, something like that. I thought that I had a next-gen console with amazing graphics. Well, yesterday or Saturday when I connected my Xbox to it and switched it on for the first time, it was like I'd bought another next-gen console with even better graphics, because the image quality is just outstanding. I thought the graphics on my Xbox One looked good on my tired old Samsung plasma. They look absolutely amazing on this. Absolutely stunningly amazing. Crisp as anything, just bright and clear, and oh, just beautiful. Text is pin sharp, and I'm so happy with it. And the fact that it's bigger, you don't really notice all that much. I mean, I think I said I had to go to a 55 inch because my original one was a 50 inch, but it was a framed panel, so it had a big, thick black frame, which took up a fair amount of real estate. And I've got my speakers all mounted on the wall, either side and below, to specifically match the size of the TV. So it's all in proportion. And because all the new TVs, all the new panels are frameless, or virtually frameless, it was going to look really, really odd. So I had to go to a bigger screen to fill that space, so the speakers didn't look like they were just waving around in thin air. But it doesn't really look that much bigger, which I suppose is a good thing, because I didn't want it to look, you know, look like too ridiculously big. Although maybe, I dare say if I'd found a 60 inch at a price I could afford, I would have probably gone for a 60. But no, 55 is bang on. It's perfect. And I'm just so happy with it. So happy with it indeed. So yes, very, very chuffed. So my big Samsung is now sitting in its, it's not in its final resting place, it's lying in state at the minute in the office, waiting for somebody to come and buy it. I'm going to stick it up on Gumtree later on, spares a repair. Someone will have it for a few quid, which will just soften the blow of having to buy a new one a little bit. So yeah, hopefully that'll go in a few days, so my wife can stop nagging me about the TV that's taking up room in the office. It's funny, when anything goes wrong with tech, or we need to buy any tech, it's always like my fault. It's like my telly, your telly is taking up my telly, so you never watch it. It's not our telly, is it? It's suddenly my telly. Oh yeah. Anyway, so so that's all sorted, and I'm well happy about that. Well chuffed indeed. And then yesterday, Sunday, we went out with my mate from the village, and we went for a bit of a wander around a place called Hardwick Hall, which is on the sort of Nottinghamshire Derbyshire border, around about junction 29 of the M1. It's a big old country house owned by the National Trust. Well. There are two houses. There's a big old country house, which is still sort of, you know, a standing building and habitable and stuff, which you can go for tours around and stuff. And then next to it, there's an old ruined house, which is just a shell. And the big country house and the gardens and everything are owned by the National Trust. The old ruined house, which is right next door, is owned by English Heritage. So it's two completely different entities, which is really bizarre, really strange. But anyway, we went up there, and I'd never been before. It's one of these places where you can, it's National Trust, so you can pay to go into the gardens or the house, or you can just have a wander around the parkland for free. You have to be paying your car parking fee, of course. Dave hadn't been for a lot of years. I'd never been before. We decided we were just going to go for a wander around the gardens in the park. We didn't want to go in the house. No house, it was just the gardens in the park. Well, they charge us £7. They charged me £7 because I'm not a National Trust member to go into the gardens. That would have been good value, perhaps, in about 3 months' time, when things had flowers on them and leaves and colour and things. But on a horrible, wet, windy, rainy day in March, it was just not very interesting at all. I mean, we had a good explore around, but no, it needs to be. You need to see that in the summer when it's in full bloom and there are flowers and bees and birds and stuff flying around. But no, it was a bit, I could have saved myself £7. But anyway, so we had a wander around that, and then we headed off out into the open parkland. We did about 8 or 9 miles in total in the end, big circular route. Really good, really, really good place to visit, actually. We did a good walk, and I'm definitely going to take my lad back up there while he's off for his Easter holidays. One of the things they do is you walk out away from the house onto the first part of the sort of parkland circular walk thing. They've got this thing called the Adventure Player or Adventure Walk or Player Walk or something like that. Play Trail, perhaps, something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, what they've done is you're walking through this big glade is an open space. And anyway, you're walking through some trees, through this bit of path, and there's loads of deadfall everywhere. Big branches have come off these old giant oak trees, and they're just like lying around all over the place. And they've left all of the deadfall there. Some of it you can see has been like maybe chopped off to make it a little bit so it's not blocking the path, or they might have dragged a bit out of the way. But for all intents and purposes, it's just left there for the kids to just do what they want with. And on a part of it, they've done like, they've put big tree swings in there, and they've put like stepping stone logs and things like that, all that kind of stuff that they've made from the deadfall. And they've also, there's a massive tree trunk that's like lying on its side. And it probably, because of the root base and everything, that's kind of lifted it all up. So you can like go underneath the tree trunk, or the top of it is probably about 10 foot off the ground. As it lies there on its side, and they've chucked a cargo net over the top and fixed the cargo net so the kids can go climbing over it and stuff. And oh, it's just brilliant. But the best thing I think they've done, all of the deadfall branches and stuff that have come down, they've just left them all, they've just left them all lying around, and to encourage the kids to kind of do shelter building and stuff. And there's all these like half built shelters and stuff all around, made out of all the tree branches and stuff. It's brilliant. It's really, really good. You alright, buddy? You dancing? You're doing dancing. That's funky dancing. I will do in just a minute, mate. I'm just going to finish doing my jobs. And then you can have your racing car if you want it, mate. Which one do you want? Your red one? There you go, matey. Good boy. It looks really good. So I'm going to take my lad up there. I mean, there are ponds with loads of lovely water birds on, and there's woodland to explore and open parkland, and they've got longhorn cattle, and there are lambs everywhere in the field. It was just a really nice day out, really good walk. Chucked it down at times, hammered it down with rain. We got absolutely drenched at times, but hey, you know, that's just walking for you, isn't it? But yeah, it didn't spoil the day at all. It was really good, really good. And I love going out with Dave because we're both into photography, which I'll come to in a minute. We're both into like science. We're both into video games. we've just got so much in common. So we can literally just talk and talk and talk and talk forever. And we've just got so much to kind of chuck around and things to talk about and tell each other about. It's just really good, really good. Good experience to go for a walk with him. It's definitely a good day out. But anyway, so we got back to the coffee shop for our third visit to the coffee shop throughout the day. And I sat there having a brew. And I've got a full-size Canon DSLR, digital SLR camera, with I carry permanently an 18 to 200 millimeter super zoom Sigma lens on the front, which is a heavy old bit of kit. It weighs over a kilo, good bits of glass and stuff inside it. It's beautiful. And then the body of the camera as well. And I carry a bag around with me, other lenses and cleaning cloths and all this kind of stuff in there. And my flash gun and all the rest of this stuff. And I've got all of this kit. And you know what? I'm finding that I'm using it less and less and less. Just because of the size of it. It's either, if I'm out and it's raining, it's tucked inside my raincoat and never comes out because I don't want to get it wet, obviously. If I'm going proper hill walking or wild camping, I don't take it with me because it's just too big and heavy to take with me. So it's not getting used as much as it should do. And I'm just resorting to whipping my phone out of my pocket and taking the odd snap here and there, you know. And I took this camera with me yesterday and it was around my neck all day. I think I pressed the shutter once. If that... Yeah, I did. I took a picture of a lamb and that was it. And it wasn't a very good picture. It was just, I don't know. But anyway, we got back to the coffee shop and we're sitting there. And my mate used to have a big DSLR camera. He used to have a big Nikon 7000 with loads of lenses and stuff and all the kit and caboodle. And he said that he just found that more and more he was leaving his big camera at home and taking out his compact camera with him, which at the time he had an older Ricoh compact. And he said, I was just constantly just putting the compact in my pocket because it was easy to carry and it didn't take up any space. And, it just made my life a lot easier. And he says, and I found that I was using it more and more and more. He said, so in the end, he decided he was going to sell his DSLR and all the kit and buy a compact system camera. And the one he bought originally was a Fuji, I think it was the X1, I think, which is like a small camera, compact camera, but you can swap the lenses around. It's got interchangeable lenses. And he had like two or three lenses for that. But they are very, very, very expensive. And he just said, he wanted a downsize, so that seemed perfect. But then last year, I think it was, he just decided that even that was too bulky and he wanted to go even smaller. So he sold that and he bought the Fuji X100S, which is really just a compact camera, fixed focal length. I think the Fuji's at 35mm. You can't change the lenses. You can't change the focal length, it's fixed, but it's such a beautiful camera. It does such a wonderful job. The technology inside it is second to none. They're so well renowned within the photography world. He's now got this Fuji X100 and he swears by it, thinks it's fantastic. However, he also upgraded his Ricoh camera, his old Ricoh digital camera, and he's now got a Ricoh GR, which is even more compact than the Fuji. Is pretty much on a par image quality wise and capability wise with a slightly better user interface, but the Fuji's just got something about it. It's got a lovely retro look and it looks gorgeous. So I was looking and I was thinking, you know what, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to go down to one of these compact cameras because you know, the SLR is just too big for me. I want to go somewhere, something smaller. And I'm never going to start, you know, I'm never going to do, you know, anything anywhere near. I mean, it's an entry, fairly entry level Canon, for God's sake. It's not the most basic one, but it's certainly not anything to shout about, you know. A very, very good, very, very capable camera. It's, you know, it's a great piece of kit and I do love using it, but I'm very, very tempted to get rid of it. I'm very, very tempted. And if I sold, but this is the thing, you see, I would have to sell all of my camera kit because it's all Canon. It's all to fit the DSLR. And to get to raise the money to buy one of these compacts, because they're not cheap, I would need to sell all of my DSLR kit. The whole lot would have to go. And that would mean if I ever did want to go back, I don't mind selling it really, but if I ever did want to go back to a DSLR, I would have to start again completely from scratch. And that's a bit of a concern. That's kind of what's always held me back in the past, because I wouldn't change from Canon to Nikon, for example, because of the fact that I've got, you know, Canon stuff that I can just pass on from camera to camera to camera. And this is the second Canon DSLR I've had. But realistically, I think I've pretty much made my mind up and it's time to let it go. If I can get the money that I need for it, and I think I can, I need to work on some valuations of stuff a little bit closer, but I'm pretty sure I can get enough from the sale of all of my kit if I sell it as a job lot, in order to fund the purchase of a compact. Although I've just had a message on Facebook from Tony Hobbs, who's now pointed me towards the Sony A6000, which I hadn't really considered, but now that I've looked at it, oh dear, I'm very tempted by that one as well. Incidentally, if anybody doesn't know Tony Hobbs, if you're into outdoorsy stuff, have a look on YouTube for Tony Hobbs. Just search Tony Hobbs. He's such an amazing bloke, such a fantastic guy to watch. All I would say is stick with him. You've got to get Tony to really love him, but everybody does. He's just brilliant. So yeah, check out Tony Hobbs on YouTube, please, because he's great. Anyway, but he suggested, and he uses the I think he's got the A7 now, which is like really, really expensive. But the difference with the A6000 is that it's got it does have interchangeable lenses, and it comes with like a 16 to 50 mil zoom lens as a standard kit lens as well. And I know the image quality is good on the Sony and it looks beautiful. It's got that lovely retro look that the Fuji has, which is what draws me to the Fuji as well. It's not the be all and end all what it looks like, but you know, I do love the styling of both the Fuji and the Sony A6000, to be honest. But time to sell the DSLR and move to a digital compact. It's a tough decision, but I think I want to do it. It's a big jump. It's a huge jump. I think what I'm probably going to do is be sensible, and I think I will I'll try and get out with Dave again in the next week or two, and I'll get him to bring both cameras along, and I will just have a try with both, play with both of them, and just see which one I prefer. One of the things that I do like about both the Sony and the Fuji is that they both have a viewfinder. The Ricoh doesn't have a viewfinder at all. It's just the LCD screen on the back, which is a little bit off-putting. I do like to have a physical viewfinder, and the Fuji's viewfinder is brilliant as well, because you can either have just a straight through viewfinder, so you're looking through a lens, or you can flick a switch and it'll switch to a digital viewfinder, so it's like a little TV screen inside it, so you can see the image displayed in the viewfinder before you press the shutter, which I'm very tempted by as well. I love that, and I think the Sony's the same. I'm not sure. I need to check that, but decisions, first world problems and all that, but you know, it's a big decision to sell all my kit and just downsize to what essentially is a compact camera, albeit a blooming good compact camera, but Sorry, just slurping my coffee there. I do apologise. So yeah, some tough decisions to make. They're not that tough really, but again, exciting. If I do decide to swap, it'll be really good fun. But it's just trying to make sure I get the best I could possibly get for mine, and finding a new one at the best possible price. But I suppose there's no rush. I could quite happily sell mine and just sit on the money for a little while until I find the right deal. I think that's probably the best way to go. I have to curb my impatience. I am so impatient. Honestly, when I get something in my head, if I decide that this is what I'm going to do, I will want a new camera tomorrow. honestly, I'm like a kid. If I get something I want it to happen, then I want it to happen now. No messing, no sort of stalling. I just want it done. I want to play. I want to get my hands on it straight away. But yeah, I need to just kind of curb my enthusiasm a little bit. Is that on a TV show? Curb my enthusiasm. I don't know. I think it's one of those American sitcom things. Ooh, TV comedy. Ooh, blimey. Right. Okay. Salad fingers. Oh, Rick, Big Rick, all one word, sent me a link. I sent a few of us a link the other night for this thing on YouTube called Salad Fingers. And it was only for one episode of Salad Fingers, which is a series, so I've now discovered. And initially, I watched the first few minutes and thought, what the heck am I watching? And then I got to the, but I didn't switch it off. I kept watching till the very end. It was a 10-minute long thing and I watched the whole lot. Oh, Salad Fingers. Don't let the kids see it, but check out Salad Fingers on YouTube. There's a whole series. I think there are 10 episodes of Salad Fingers on YouTube. Now, I'm not really into this sort of abstract comedy type stuff, like the Mighty Boosh and that kind of stuff. Never really sort of got me. I've never really understood it. Monty Python I do like, which is kind of was the sort of forerunner of this kind of thing, I suppose. But I've never really been into all this, like League of Gentlemen, that kind of stuff. Couldn't get on with it. But Salad Fingers is very, very abstract and very, very weird, very, very dark, a little bit scary, but very, very, very good. So well made. So if you have a strong constitution and you're a little bit curious, go check out Salad Fingers on YouTube. I like rusty spoons. Excuse me, small child. Can I come in and see your spoons? Whoa, it's so good. Anyway, right. I'm going to leave it at that, and I will go and play with my boy and finish my coffee. So I hope you're all well and happy. Hope you've all had a good weekend too, and thank you very much for listening to me once again. I will speak to you all, hopefully, very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.